Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
It's 11 o'clock, and welcome to Tom on the Radio. I'm Tom O'Neill, along with the co-host of co-hosts, Steve Baxley, and we will have our kind of levity on this show tonight, but the news is still the death of history. As I said on my Facebook page, I call it history died last weekend. The passing of the greatest, Muhammad Ali. And I was on Steve's show, The Last Call Cafe with Lugnut 6, last Friday night, and most of the show was waiting on word of the imminent death of Muhammad Ali. And at the time we called his condition grave. And about a half hour after Steve signed off his show, we heard the word that Ali had passed away because of natural causes. And his body is back at his home city of Louisville, Kentucky, and the private funeral will be Thursday. The public memorial, as well as the burial, will be Friday. And Steve, you handled it last Friday with such grace and respect. What are your opening remarks on one of the greatest men to ever walk this earth?
My remarks are simply this: the greatest then, the greatest now, the greatest then, the greatest always. There will never be another like Muhammad Ali.
Born Cassius Marcellus Clay in 1942 in Louisville, Kentucky, Ali won the light heavyweight gold medal at the Rome Olympics. He immediately went into professional boxing, winning the heavyweight championship of the world at age 22, beating what some call the unbeatable Charles Sonny Liston. And about a year afterwards, he beat him again. And to some would call under questionable circumstances, but Ali was a three-time heavyweight championship champion winner. He beat Joe Frazier, and he beat George Foreman, and I think he beat Leon Spinks for the third time holding the belt. But that was just a portion of his life. His last 34 years, he was living with grace and dignity with Parkinson's disease, a disease that took his strength, that took his voice, but did not take his spirit. And he became what some call the citizen of the world, the most popular public figure in the world, yet alone the most famous athlete. There isn't a sport or a piece of entertainment that has not been influenced in some way, shape, or form by Muhammad Ali. And two experiences in his life changed his life. When he was 12, someone stole his bicycle, and instead of getting even with that particular person in Louisville, he ran into a policeman who happened to be a boxing coach, and he learned the craft of boxing, and as they say, the rest is history. And the second instance that changed his professional life was that he was a big-time wrestling fan. His public persona was crafted mostly after the great wrestler Gorgeous George. So he was a great humanitarian. He raised millions upon millions of dollars to different charities, among those to help fight Parkinson's disease. He raised hundreds of millions of dollars for Parkinson's disease research. He leaves behind a wife and 9 children and many great-grandchildren and millions of friends around the world. As an honor to the great one, the greatest, the Black Superman, I would like to enlist upon Steve Bashley to give the traditional final 10 count in honor of the greatest of all time. Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. I hope to meet you in heaven someday, if I am worthy enough. Steve, the coverage of Ali's death was unprecedented, both on the good side and the bad side. Now, the good side was right after the death, ESPN did blow out the budget coverage of Ali. They brought in so many talented people, some who knew Ali and some who didn't. And they did 4 hours with no commercials on the coverage of Ali. On the other hand, from what I read in the trades today, CBS News dropped the ball, to the point where they had to enlist their Los Angeles affiliate, KCBS, and their anchor, Ron Majors, to anchor the coverage of Muhammad Ali's death. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Yes, and I will say this. ESPN... excuse the expression, needed something to redeem themselves. They did a good job. And I will agree, CBS dropped the ball badly. They have a sports network. Why couldn't they do anything with that? If you recall, long ago, when the tragedy in Boston occurred, NBCSN relied heavily on its Boston station, WHDH Channel 7, for their coverage. CBS, instead of going to Ron Majors, one of the best anchors, bar none, they could have enlisted or had a simulcast going with CBS Sports Network. They didn't do that.
But also, the bottom line is they could have and should have woke Scott Pelley out of bed, wherever he was, and said, come on in. In another time, CBS, in another time, with Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite, and later on Dan Rather, they were always on call for big stories.
This is true. This is true. But I also must chide not just CBS for dropping a ball, but Fox Sports 1 for doing nothing. Having a breaking sports alert, a crawl on what I'm going to call the bottom one. This was a time the cable sports networks should have stood up and should have done a good job. ESPN, I salute them. They redeemed themselves. Fox Sports One, CBS Radio, CBS Sports Network, and
is the reason why they're where they are.
Mm-hmm. And I hope the guy that runs Fox Sports One was watching intently the coverage, because you talk about dropping the ball. This guy napalmed.
That they did. I didn't see any of Fox Sports One coverage because my cable box doesn't carry Fox Sports One, so I have to lean on you for that.
Well, when the announcement came, it was just while ESPN did an excellent job with nonstop coverage.
And it was blowout budget coverage too.
They did fantastic. The folks at Bristol have got to be proud.
I mean, my feeling is, if they could wake Bob Lee out of bed to come in on a Saturday morning, why couldn't CBS do that for Scott Pelley? He's supposed to be the anchor on CBS News.
But I guess the story wasn't big enough.
I guess it wasn't big enough for Scott Pelley.
Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, kudos to Bob Lee, kudos to Jeremy Schapp, kudos to the folks at ESPN. They handled it with dignity, with respect, with class.
Yes, they did.
And I will tell you this, there is only one man in boxing, on boxing television, that has now garnered the ultimate respect. That's Teddy Atlas. They got him from Montreal. He did, and forgive me for doing this, he did a damn good job.
There's no apologies for that.
Teddy Edwards.
He did a great job. And later on, he was accompanied on this second hit with Joe Tessitore. But Teddy Atlas, I think, separated himself. He's in the Ferdy Pacheco category now. I mean, he gave insights to Ali that either we have not heard before or we didn't see. I mean, for example, he actually said that Phantom Punch that Liston went down on in the second fight with the Ali, it was a punch. It was not a phantom punch. It was a right place, right time punch, and he showed it. He showed why it was. He mentioned the greatness of Muhammad Ali. I mean, it was fascinating television to watch. And they kept it going even at the Premier Boxing Championship card at the Bell Center, Montreal, the next night. It was dedicated to Muhammad Ali, and both Tessitore and Teddy Atlas did a great, fantastic job. And Marisol Castro held her own, too.
And I will go one more better. one more great kudo to the folks at Antenna TV. They're the ones that have all the rights to the formerly known as The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, now just Johnny Carson. On the night that Muhammad Ali passed, they put on, I think it was either the night or Sunday, I think it was Saturday, they put on a Tonight Show, they put on a Johnny Carson episode featuring the interview that he did with Muhammad Ali. Ladies and gentlemen, wow, class. True class. Now, we all, now, on the other side of that, of the broadcast coin, to the head moron at Fox Sports 1, formerly the genius over at ESPN, who was hired by NBC and then fired after 24 hours.
The Schwartz guy.
Yes, Mr. Schwartz. Critics told you what would happen if you started the bloodletting. The ball. You laid off almost everyone. You couldn't break for special bulletin because you had no one there. Maybe this should teach you. I hope you're watching your former employer kicking your asses yet again.
And it wasn't like maybe this was sudden.
No. This was,
I mean, there was a lot of lead time that ESPN took full advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And
I tell you, Bob Lee did good. They all did good. They deserve the credit. Bar none, great coverage by ESPN. They redeemed themselves, and this is going to gnaw at the head man of Fox Sports. This is going to gnaw at him.
Well, this is what you get for trying to play minor league ball in a major league ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this. I went on YouTube the night that Muhammad Ali, the official word came, and I accessed his 50th birthday, and a little paraphrasing from the legend himself, Howard Cosell, when he said, "Muhammad, you are free to be who you want to be. You are Muhammad Ali."
That's a story right there that was just fantastic while it lasted. The relationship between the Louisville Lip at the time and the Jewish lawyer from Brooklyn. They needed each other. And it was great.
You know, television. You know the old saying, you capture lightning in a bottle only once? Rune Arledge had that lightning when Cosell and Ali got together. That was must-see TV for lo those many years. And
that's the one thing I have a problem with ESPN/ABC. A lot of people have never really seen Cosell and Ali do their stick because it was mostly on Wide World of Sports a lot of times. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if ABC still holds a right to Wide World of Sports.
They sure do.
That would have been great television to watch. But luckily,
and, I think I was going to say in agreement with your thought. Somebody, ESPN interviewed, I think, one of Ali's former, I think it was Vander Holyfield they interviewed. And he said that he had wished ESPN would get all the Wide World of Sports episodes that featured Muhammad Ali and Howard Cosell. But folks, be grateful you got YouTube.
Because it's on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. The famous, yes, you got Cosell before the toupee. You got Muhammad Ali practicing and Cosell and Angelo Dundee doing commentary on his sparring. And I will tell you this, watching all those tapes from YouTube of Muhammad Ali, Howard Cosell, they brought back a whole ton of memories. And again, for those of you listening, go to YouTube. Do a search.
Like I will.
Muhammad Ali, Howard Cosell. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
And later in life, after he found out he had Parkinson's, that's when the benevolent Muhammad Ali took over. As true to his religion, he did things in his life, in his after boxing, that warranted that golden ticket to heaven.
Yep, and you could say it was the Centennial Olympics in Atlanta, where he lit it up, and
literally
the Olympics
in a way, literally.
Yeah, and yes, indeed, never to be done again, because when you're the greatest, you own it. And in the opening ceremonies in Atlanta, he owned it.
He did. And although he had the first stages of Parkinson's disease, he was determined to light that cauldron. His hands were shaking, his body was shaking, but he lit the cauldron. And the backstory to that was, it was going to be Evander Holyfield to light the cauldron, but he was told in the last minute that there was somebody else that was a little bit more worthy doing the deed than the real deal Holyfield. But when he found out who that person was, he said, go ahead. No problems. To this day, even when he was interviewed on ESPN, that's what he said. No problems. I have no problem with Muhammad Ali lighting the flame.
Now, he lit the flame. The flame lit all of our hearts.
Yes, it did. As I said, Steve, history died late Friday night, Saturday morning. Louisville is going to be the epicenter of the world starting probably now. The Muhammad Ali Center is nothing but flowers, memorials, cards. The family said, in lieu of such gifts, they should make whatever donations they're going to make to the Muhammad Ali Center. As I said, starting this show, there's going to be a private memorial service Thursday night at the funeral home. Early Friday morning, around 9 o'clock, the procession will go throughout the streets of Louisville and will end up in a cemetery. Then Friday at 2 o'clock will be the public memorial service, interfaith memorial service. Among the eulogists will be President Clinton, Bryant Gumbel, and Billy Crystal. And it is a ticketed event. They'll be putting 15,000 people in the Yum Center, and tickets will go on sale early Wednesday morning, and I'm sure they'll be gone in seconds.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this, worldwide TV, the world will be watching.
Yes, and I bet you CBSN will have that service from beginning to end to make up for what they didn't do. But then again, every network will have it. And if you're not near a television, it's going to be streamed on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But I am sure Muhammad Ali's courage and faith and spirit will stay with all of us as long as we all live. But he also liked to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great practical joker. He was an amateur musician magician that did tricks on the man. And he was just a great person to be around. And I'm sure he does not want mere mortals like you and me to be talking a half hour on his death. And without counterbalancing that with the fact that we are among the land of the living. And in the spirit
indeed.
Of Muhammad Ali, we need to do things. We need to love, and we need to show love to family and strangers alike.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing Muhammad Ali left us with, not just with a legacy in out of the ring, but to show that the greatest force in the world is love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everywhere, and we need to show it. We need to receive
that's
it.
Right.
So I'm just saying, Steve, that I'm sure he does not want us to dwell on the fact that he earthly left us, but he wants us to dwell on the fact that we got a lot to do before we see him up in heaven. And just to think, Steve, and we will go on to other topics after I say this. Can you imagine the homecoming that Muhammad Ali got with Howard Cosell meeting him at the gates?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He said, long
indeed.
Time no see, old friend. And you still wearing a
suit?
I bet you
one thing, when he was at the pearly gates, he said, "Where's St. Peter?" And he heard a familiar voice going, "St. Peter is having lunch, Muhammad. It is I. Let's go, my friend. I've waited for you, especially."
Especially. Well, we're happy that Cassius Marcellus Clay is no longer in pain. He is beloved throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. And as I said earlier, I hope to meet you someday when I am worthy, when I've done my job, when you've done your job. I hope to meet
mm-hmm.
you. It's almost 11:30 here in the Seven Cities and beyond. But one more thing I would like to mention about Muhammad Ali as we go into my version of the afterglow. The WWE did a great memorial on Muhammad Ali during the Raw telecast tonight. It was interspersed throughout the three hour broadcast. But they did have a chunk of the show that was dedicated to Muhammad Ali and his influence on sports entertainment, and it is a huge influence. and from refereeing at WrestleMania 1 to his matches with Antonio Inoki to his matches with Gorilla Monsoon, and just his influence upon contemporary wrestlers, and the most noted contemporary who gotten passed on his persona is the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So
indeed.
I give credit to the WWE for showing love to the great one. I keep saying the great one. It's the greatest. Great one, greatest. Still means the same.
That's right.
Going to other topics, Steve, while we have the time, another The View co-host bites the dust today. Nicole Wallace got sent packing. So Pavel Bure's wife, who is a panelist on The View, Candace Cameron Bure was on Hollywood Today Live, and she kind of downplayed that particular action, but she also said that Nicole Wallace is a talented comedian and she will end up on her feet somewhere. Oh, I didn't mention on your show, I was talking on my show that Tamar Braxton got fired, and she did get fired from the syndicated show The Real. But the second half of that story was Steve Harvey immediately came in and scooped up Tamar Braxton and signed them to his production company. And they're going to develop a show for Tamar Braxton, which will probably be a talk show that'll be airing a year from now or a year and a half from now, something like that. So I find that funny that Tamar Braxton may be on the air and the co-host that allegedly wanted to get rid of her may not make it through another year. That's just the way television is these days.
Indeed, indeed. And I would not be surprised if there are a few more people leaving The View as it continues to be trounced by an afternoon talker known as The Talk.
I keep thinking this is Whoopi Goldberg's last year on her contract. I haven't heard anything new on what's happening with her, but you can bet that once again that show is going to get broken down and built up again, and this might be the last time that happens.
Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if ABC News just says, thank you guys, but we got another View, and this one's going to be
Michael
Strahan.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I wouldn't be surprised either. Yeah, in terms of a fourth hour, a third hour of Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm. And there's Kelly Ripa going, maybe I should have been more nicer.
No. Well, when you make $60,000 a day, you can only be so nice. But speaking of Michael Strahan, I am getting more giddy by the day on ABC Fun and Games Night that starts on June the 20th. When does this start? Sunday after next. In 2 weeks. In two Sundays from now. I will be in front of my TV watching all three shows.
So will I. And, 26th. Yep. And so will I. And I will have my instant critique on the two debuting shows on Facebook and, of course, on your show.
Well, I feel so flattered. You know, we'll just compare notes on that show. On the 26th premiere, Celebrity Family Feud, which was a runaway hit last year. Then you got the two newbies, the $100,000 Pyramid with Michael Strahan and the Match Game with Alec Baldwin. I think the casting of the all three hosts were just strokes of genius.
Mm-hmm. I especially want to see how Alec Baldwin does as game show host of a classic game show Match Game.
Well, we can start with this question. Alec Baldwin hopefully will blank well on Match Game.
I'm going to say do well.
And do well is what I hope for my friend and former coworker. It was announced tonight that Rhonda Era LaValle, who once worked at WDIV and was the news director down in Houston at KPRC, she's coming home. She's packing up her belongings and coming home, and her last day at KPRC is going to be on the 17th of June, and she's going to Broadcast House to be the new news director at Channel 7.
Let's see. Let's add this up. She worked at WDIV.
Before that, she worked at Channel 50.
Okay.
She worked with me at Channel 50.
Let's add this up. Worked at Channel 50.
Yeah.
Number one news at 10. Channel 4. Number one news at Channel 4. Worked at KPRC. Number one news on Houston's television airwaves. Now she's going to 7 and 20. I do believe
that's where the similarity ends.
That's right. But still, I think the one is going to continue.
I'd like to see what changes Rhonda's going to make at the lineup at the Channel 7, because you know she's going to go in there and after a feeling out process, she's going to have to make some changes, because being number two and or number three doesn't sit well with scripts.
That's true, and I think one of the changes that's going to be made, let's put it this way, oh, Mr. Feldman, welcome back to television.
Mr. Who? I think that's a legitimate call, Steve. That's a good one. And as with Jason Carr, who went to Channel 4 and started at Channel 4, if he has a 6-month no-compete clause in his contract, and if Murray Feldman has the same 6-month no-compete clause, guess when those no-compete clauses expire? At the time of the auto show.
Yes, indeed, and I would not be surprised.
And we know Murray is going to be at the auto show because he still has his gig with WWJ Radio.
Yes, and wouldn't it be nice for the Lighthouse to shine ever bright and say, with more on the situation in the auto industry and the latest business news, here's our newest colleague, Murray Feldman.
Yeah, new to us, but not new to you. That would be an excellent choice. I mean, Channel 2 got what it wanted by getting rid of a couple of high price anchors. Well, three if you include Lee Thomas. It'd be interesting to see where he goes. And Channel 4 got...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was given a hint.
It sounds like a theme song of Entertainment Tonight. Are you saying that Lee Thomas is going?
I just have a feeling either Entertainment Tonight or Extra will grab him big time.
Well, that's great.
One of those two.
So everybody,
one of those two.
So everybody got what they wanted.
Yep. Well, except for Channel 2, of course.
No, they got what they wanted. They got rid of salaries. They dumped salaries. And not to say that got diluted the product, which it did, but they wanted to get rid of heads. And now they're paying for all that extravagancy that they had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And for all, you know, all those we're going to keep NFL on Fox at all costs. And now they're paying for it.
Yep.
But it's going to create some interesting times in 2017 at the three local affiliates in Detroit. And to that,
what?
I say it's just too bad. I still say it's too bad that the knuckleheads at CBS doesn't see a gold mine when they see it.
Well, they believe in the three blind mice theory. And see how they run. Yes, indeed.
Yes, they got to pay some to Redstone and Les Moonves a salary from somewhere.
It's just simple
to think how much money those two clowns make. It's just a
simple. And let's not forget Les Moonves married Julie Chen, which is tantamount to giving Julie Chen the ultimate job security.
Yes. And that's it. Oh, getting back to the talk, that's the most secure live network program daytime right now. I mean, basically, the hosts that have been with that show have been there for about 5-6 years. I mean, The View changes co-hosts every year, and the Today Show is about to do some house cleaning on their show.
Yes, I understand Matt Lauer is so afraid of Billy Bush that he's going back to the Rogaine to get his hair back.
No, Billy Bush doesn't pose a threat to Matt Lauer. No, he doesn't. I find that funny that NBC is moving Billy Bush east while they ship Natalie Morales west.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way,
happy
44th birthday to Savannah Guthrie today.
Yes, I wonder how she's liking that California weather. No, that. But also, also the latest. Apparently, NBC has got a huge problem on their hands.
Another one. Hurry up, because I'm about to run out.
Okay, here it is. Half of their commentators that they selected for the Olympics are telling NBC, we'd rather do it out of 30 Rock.
Oh, they don't want to go to Rio.
No, not with that Zika virus. How about those mosquitoes going around? If some of the countries start to boycott and some of NBC's own employees won't even go there, NBC is going to be taking one major bath.
And we're not even talking about the Russians who might have to